Amen. We started a series talking about prayer. Say prayer. Prayer is something that almost anybody who's ever been in any church at any time has done, but not everybody sees their prayers answered. I believe that God wants you to pray, and I believe God wants that prayer to be answered. John chapter 15, verse 17 and 16 talks about that this is what gives glory to your Father, that you produce much fruit, and that fruit is in the context of you praying. Say, God wants me to pray, and he wants me to have my prayers answered. And so we're looking at the context of this context of praying and how to increase, intensify, call it what you will, but having the opportunity that when you pray, you begin to see results. Not prayers that hit the ceiling and fall down. Not prayers that feel like you just do a wet blanket over. No, prayers that have power. Prayers that see change. Amen? Amen. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to spend time together, to spend time in your presence, to spend time in your word. We thank you for your will to be done today in this space. We sanctify this place with the precious blood of Jesus, and we invite your precious Holy Spirit here to move upon our hearts, open our eyes, our understanding. Help us to receive truth today, for it's the truth that we know that brings liberty and freedom. Speak to us through your word, and we give you praise. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn those to the Gospel of Matthew, if you would. Also, if you want, you can turn and open up the app, our Hope Church St. Louis app. You can search on any smartphone, download it for free. There's a section in there called Notes. Click on that. It will bring up today's sermon outline where you can fill in the blank and follow along that way for those who like to study the word that way. Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, verse 9. We'll just read verse 9 and 10 today. After this manner... Because the disciples asked Jesus how to pray. After this manner, therefore, pray you, Jesus said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Last week we talked about how every powerful prayer begins with thanksgiving and praise. Amen. If you start with the problem and not praise, you've limited the power of your prayer. Right. Let me say that again. If you start with the problem and not the praise, you will limit the power of your prayer. If you start with a problem, well, I just need to say this prayer. This is my problem. Your heavenly Father already knows your need before you ask, the Bible says. But we want your prayers answered. God wants your prayers answered. That's why the Bible tells us in Psalms, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We need to get in God's presence. You just don't say, oh, I got something important I want to tell you, and I'm just going to say it. No, you make the phone call, do you not? Yes. If they're not there, you got to make the phone call. Well, what's the number? Oh, just dial any number. That should be good enough. No. You might dial any number, but you might be talking to someone that you didn't expect to talk to. And then when you say the same message, and when you see them later and say, why didn't you bring what I asked you to bring? What are you talking about? I called. I left a message on your voicemail. What number did you call? Well, I don't know. I just hit some numbers. Well, you didn't leave it on my voicemail. Come on, somebody. We have to make a connection with God. So any prayer that starts with the problem and not with praise, and we went into depth last week, so get the message. Any prayer that starts with the problem and not God's praise lacks the power. Amen. All this manner, therefore we pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth or in earth as it is in heaven. Notice, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is, where? In earth as it is in heaven. In earth, God, your kingdom, your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. So what you know that tells me, the way I interpret that, is that if God has something for you in heaven, it's available to you on earth. Amen. If God has something for you, and so many times the devil will hinder us by getting into the delay mindset. Well, it might not happen here, but I know when I get to heaven. Yes, that's true. But if it's available to you in heaven... Say, if God has it for me in heaven. Come on, talk to me, church. Say, if God has it for me in heaven, I can have it here on earth. We know that to be true out of Hebrews 6, verse 12, and Hebrews 11, verse 33. And please challenge everything I say with the Word of God. And those verses tell us that we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. So we can access, and there's a benefit to access what God has in heaven on this earth, because when we begin to access and see what His kingdom is in heaven to happen in our world, in our finances, in our health, in our marriage, in our home, in our family, in our community, when we begin to see that happen, you know what it is? It is a testimony of the goodness of God. That's why the Bible says that all thanks be to God, that He causes us to triumph. Yes. Triumph. Everywhere we go, that we become an aroma, New Living Translation, aroma of His knowledge. Wherever you go, we become a testimony. Wherever we go, we're a good report of the goodness of God. Amen. Say, I'm a good report of the goodness of God. I like that. Say, I'm a good report. Wherever I go, I'm a good report of the goodness of God. Because there's other people. Do you know the devil just doesn't try to mess with you? John 10:10, Jesus says, I've come that you have might have life and life more abundantly, but there is a thief who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil just doesn't mess with you. He messes with other people too. And do you know that he doesn't have that many different tools? Because if he could keep creating new ones, then we wouldn't know his tactics or techniques. But Paul tells us that we're not ignorant of the devil's devices, which means that the tools he uses, he'll use what he's used on you, he uses on other people. And we can sit and cry about the tool that's being used against us, or we can rise up and operate in kingdom authority and begin to experience what is available to us in heaven. Stay with me. So why? So that we can be a testimony, a good report, because there's other people that God will send in you into their pathway, and they'll begin to tell you, maybe cry to you, complain to you, whatever it might be, and you can say, wait a minute, I know somebody, or it might be you. Let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me tell you what God has done for me. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the deep theological. I like the story of a gentleman who was healed of blindness, and when they began to question him about how Jesus could do that, he said, I don't know, but what I do know, once I was blind, come on, see, sometimes we make things way too difficult. See, I was blind, now I can see. And you get in a conversation to somebody who was blind, and they're saying, man, it's been tough being a blind person. You don't understand. Say, I do understand, because once I was blind, too, but now I see. Yeah. Yeah. Someone says, you don't understand. Oh, yeah, I do understand. I used to be tormented. Yeah. Woo, but now I'm free. Yeah. I used to live under the weight and the cloud of sin and condemnation, but now I feel light as a verb because I'm saved, sanctified, and righteous by the blood of Jesus. I used to be in fear, but now I found out there is no fear with God because perfect love casts out fear. All right, you can be a good report. Ooh, I like that. That's not in my notes. That should be in there somewhere. Someone needs to hashtag that. Post that somewhere and then put hashtag got my hope. Say, I'm a good report of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. I'm a good report of the goodness of God. I'm a good report. What are you doing? I'm writing this down myself. I love you, but I'm just not too sure you're going to do it. So I am a good report of the goodness of, misspelled, of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a good report of the goodness of God. So let's get talking about this kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom, and to me, this is such an interesting topic because, not because we live in a democracy and not in a kingdom, but so many Christians are familiar with kingdom principles and stories, but are very unfamiliar with the kingdom of God. Right. and what they're meant to be. Because when you look at the ministry of Jesus, and I challenge you to do this, he talked about the kingdom of God. When he told parables, every parable started with, the kingdom of God is likened unto, or the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. What was he doing? Giving stories that showed examples of what God's kingdom was about. When he would tell the disciples, go heal the sick, he said, go heal the sick, and then tell them, the kingdom of God is at hand. When he would cast out a devil, they begin to accuse him. He said, no, if I cast that demon out of that person by the Spirit of God or the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is here. Most people think the kingdom of God is heaven, and the kingdom of God, heaven is included in the kingdom. But Jesus told the disciples, don't look for the kingdom, because the kingdom is not with observation, because the kingdom of God is within you. We always look at it, oh, the kingdom of God is, you know what I mean, when I get to heaven. No, that's part of the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God, Jesus said, your kingdom come. Yeah. Woo, that means it can go from where it wasn't and it can go and be there. Amen. Your kingdom come. That means motion. Say motion. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. That's the level of the kingdom that God wants to bring into our lives. Mm. And if God has it in heaven for you, then you can have it on the earth. Amen. Well, the flip side is true. Thank you. Appreciate you too. That's a good thing. Now, the flip side is true. If it's not in heaven for you, you don't have to accept it here on earth. Now listen, it doesn't mean that you won't deal with it. It doesn't mean that it won't try to mess with you. Right. I heard somebody recently in earshot, and they were saying, I'm dealing with these allergies in this season. And the person said, yeah, I know. We just got to learn to live with them. And I spoke up. I try to keep to myself. And I spoke up and say, wait a minute. Who said that we have to learn to live with them? Who said that we have to learn to live with that sickness? Who said that we have to learn to live with that pain? Who says that we have to learn to live with that brokenness? Who says that we have to learn to live with that busted marriage? Who said that we have to learn to live with our family in pieces? No, God doesn't say, just learn to live with it. Deal with it. No. That's not what God's saying. If it's not that way in heaven, then though it might be there or here now, we don't have to learn to live with it. We have to learn to resist it. Amen. Right? We have to learn to fight against it. You might be dealing with it. You might be symptomatic. You might be emotionally upset, but you can say, I'm feeling it, but don't stay in the storm. Say, but I'm still standing strong. I'm going to resist the devil, and he has to flee. Ooh, I got to go back to the other thing here. I'm a good report of the goodness of God. Yeah. I like that. So what is God's kingdom? If you're taking notes or following in the notes, God's kingdom is, the kingdom of God is, number one, it's the king's rule. Yeah. The king's rule. That's where his dominion is. Yeah. What has he conquered? Yeah. Where's his rule and authority? And the natural king, his kingdom's based on what territory, what people that he has subdued under him, his authority. It's the rule of God. That's why the kingdom of God is just not in heaven. The kingdom of God can be here on earth, because when Jesus spoke, things changed. Because he wasn't operating by his authority. He was operating by the authority of the Father, because he said, the works that I do, it's the Father doing them. Yeah. Woo. It's the king's rule. It's the king's authority. It's how the king operates. I like to say it this way. It's the, if you ever was hired onto a new company and you have to learn their policies and procedures, yeah. Right? You don't take the policies and procedures of your last job into your new job. Right. You can try, but if you do, you're going to mess yourself up. Where you been for the last 3 days? Oh, I decided to take vacation. Did you fill out the appropriate forms? Oh, no, I just thought you guys would know. You know what I mean? It's just, that's what I did at the last job. I just took off on a one, and when I got back, I told my boss where I'd been. May I encourage you to call your old job and see if they still have your old job available. Old policies and procedures don't work at new location, new jobs. The policies and procedures of the kingdom that we come out of before we were saved don't work in the policies and procedures of the new kingdom of when we get saved. Because we come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the light of his dear son. So we need to understand the policies and procedures. The kingdom of God is his rule, his authority, how he does stuff. It's what I like to call the order of God. The order of God. How does God order things? If you go into a court and you talk to the judge, and you don't do it according to the order of the court, they will tell you you are out of order. And though what you have to say may be right, or your intent may be good, if it's out of order, it has no place.
Right. Right.
It's the order of God. What is a bad habit for many Christians, and we've all been here, is that we don't want to change and do it God's way. We want to do it our way, but we want God's results. I don't want to follow your plan. I want to do my plan, but I want your results. I want to hate people and be unforgiving and critical and just tell them what I think, but I want people to love me, Jesus. I like to say it this way. The kingdom of God, if you're looking at the notes, it's the secret path to receiving everything you want.
Yes.
It's the secret path to receiving everything you want. You say, where do you get that from? The Gospel of Matthew. Would you turn to your Bible? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Have you heard this verse before? And it says, but seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all... Not some of these things, not part of these things. All, you got to look at the, read it before and after. I challenge you to challenge me, challenge everything with the Word of God. Read it and find out Jesus is talking about everything the world wants. All these things will be added unto you. And yet, the reality, so you can say it this way, all the things that the world is wanting, God wants you to have, but you got to do it his way. And yet, what do we tend to do? We do it our way. And we think we're helping God. We think we're doing God a favor by including him with a simple prayer after we do our thing. Now, Lord, I give him my best. Bless it in Jesus' name. And God should be happy with that because I included him. We'll quote verses, but you know the promise of verses have a condition. I can quote Psalms 1, verse 3 all day, that whatsoever I put my hands to shall prosper. But if I'm not obeying Psalms 1, 1 and 1, 2, this is if we want what God has for us in our prayer. When we're spending time, after we've spent time in praise, spend time in worship, spend time in thanksgiving, the next lap of the track, if you will, is to start reevaluating our lives and begin to pray for God's order, pray for God's priorities in our life. God, because we need to do it God's way. We need to do it God's way, not our way. We need to find out, God, open, and that's what David prayed, open my eyes so that I can see. Teach me to do your will. If we do our thing expecting God results, we get frustrated. Why do some of our prayers lack power? It's because we're not looking, we're not making a priority. What is the kingdom? Seek first, make the way the king operates. What, how does the king see this situation? His righteousness, how does he see it? When we begin to see Jesus is not only our Savior of our sins, he's forgiven you, he's washed you in his blood. Jesus, I love you, you're my Savior. And we cry and we feel the emotional experience of a relationship with Jesus. But he not only should be your Savior, he should be your Lord. What wrecks people on the journey of life is not all. It's not always the beginning. They can begin to see God do a work in their life, Matthew 13, Mark 4, about the seed producing fruit. But there's a place, if they don't have Jesus, if they don't have this right, then the devil can sidetrack them because the question in this phase is Jesus Christ Lord of your life?
Right.
Your kingdom come. Your will be done. How do I know if I'm in God's kingdom? How do I access God's kingdom? Matthew 7, verse 21. Are you okay today? Is everybody doing fine? You know, if you like something, you can listen, you can write it down, and you can also say amen. If you get too quiet, I got to stay here. And then none of us get on time. We miss the crowd. I mean, get behind that crowd at the buffet, and then you're going to be mad at me, and I'm going to be mad at you. So, okay. Hallelujah. So even if you feel under conviction, just don't let anybody know. Just shout amen anyway. Shout amen and look at the people next to you. Amen. How do I access God's kingdom? Matthew 7, verse 21 says, Jesus is saying, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father. I believe this is more than context of making it to heaven. Because if this was you going to heaven, then it puts works to it. But we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. What this is talking about is the rule of God, the kingdom of God, the authority of God in your life, in your health, in your finances, in what, your whole area, any area of your life, according to the promises of God that according to you are yea and amen, so be it approved, and so be it, the Bible says. All the promises of God. If I want God's promises, I have to understand God's order. And what you believe in this Bible is what you receive. Didn't Jesus say, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Are you listening to me? If you can believe for salvation, you'll be saved. If you can believe for healing, you can be healed. If you can believe for God to bless you financially, so that it's not about you having good stuff, but you being good stuff to other people, God can bless you. If you can believe, whatever you can believe.
Yes.
I know good people that love Jesus and are going to heaven and believe that he's their Savior, but they don't believe that he can be a healer. I know good people who believe that Jesus is a healer, but they believe that he wants you poor and struggling. Whatever you can believe from the Word of God, not because of ideas, not because of need, not because of problem, but by the promise of God's Word.
Amen.
Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing.
Say,
what I believe, I can receive.
What I believe, I can receive.
So how do I access the kingdom of God, which brings the rule of God, the authority of God? Because in the kingdom of God, the devil cannot stand. Jesus talked about the kingdom. Jesus actually, even John the Baptist said, the kingdom of God is at hand. You need to repent. It's the authority of God. It's the rule of God. Well, he was talking about Jesus. Absolutely. Well, that was Jesus. Well, who are you? You're the body of Christ. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Jesus said, the works that I do, you can do also. What you can't see in the realm of the Spirit, unless your spiritual eyes are open, when you walk into the room, the devil should see a light. He should see God's kingdom, God's authority, God's rule. Why do I say that? Because that's what he saw when Jesus showed up. Demons would come looking for him. We know who you are. You're the Son of God. Have you come to torment us before the time? They were not saying, I'm not leaving. They were saying, please send us into those pigs over there. They understood and recognized authority. They understood and recognized authority. They understood and recognized authority. They understood and recognized spiritual authority. See, if you're not under authority, James says, you have to submit yourself under the mighty hand of God and then resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you don't understand and submit to the God's authority of his word, I'm not talking about being dominated by people. That's been abused in the church world. People say, well, I got the title, and so I'm over you. And they'll tell weird. I've heard people say they have to call me to ask me if they can go on vacation. Listen, don't call me to ask me if you need to go on a vacation. You pray about it. You find the mind of God. Leave me alone. We got too many people at Hope Church. If I had to figure out if you should go on a vacation, I wouldn't have no time to do anything. I don't connect people to me. I connect people to Jesus and his word. I'm not here to control your life. I'm here to help provide the table of the provision of God's word and to point to Jesus and applaud you. But when you understand spiritual authority, you won't be abused and used by people. Because the tactic of the devil is on one side to abuse you and use you in the church, so that you get hurt and wounded. And then what happens? You leave the church. And then you think to yourself, I'll never be under any spiritual authority again. And when you aren't under spiritual authority, then you rob yourself of being in authority. And when you're not understanding of being under and over authority, you rob yourself of faith. And if you can't exercise your faith, you say, where do you get that from? The centurion soldier. He understood authority, and he understood the word that Jesus didn't even have to show up at the house. Just speak the word only. And there's... See, when we understand authority, we understand spiritual authority comes from heaven. It frees you.
Yes.
It doesn't imprison you.
Amen.
It frees you. Not to be controlled by man. I've had pastors, well, if you don't control the people, they'll sin and they won't go to heaven. Let me help you out. If you have to be controlled to live for Jesus and not to sin, you're not saved. If I have to emotionally browbeat you down and verbally abuse you publicly to keep you living for Jesus, your heart's not right. Let's get your heart right. Because if your heart's right, the Holy Spirit will convince you or convict you of any sin. And when the Holy Spirit deals with you, that's totally different than any other person. Someone can say, I'm mad at you. Who cares? Someone says, I can't believe, are you living right? You can lie to him. But when the Holy Spirit, who knows everything, and he starts convicting you, you're like, okay, Lord, I repent. I give up. Why? Because we want to keep and stay in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I want the order of God.
Right.
How do I do that? By he that does the will of the Father. When I obey God's will, obeying God's will is the door into his kingdom.
Amen.
And if you're not there in an area, all I can tell you is don't feel bad. Welcome to life.
Yeah.
We are all growing. Say, I'm growing. And when you get through the door, there's another door. There's levels. In every area of your life, in your finances, in your health, in your relationships, in your friendships, in your career, in the peace in your home, in your children, in your family. There's all different levels. But the good news that Jesus is our all-sufficiency. You don't have to come to Christianity for this thing and go over to the Muslims for this thing and go over to the Buddhists for this thing and go over to the Jehovah Witness for this thing. No! Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the all-sufficiency. In him is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the author and finisher of your faith. And if you don't understand something, don't get mad, don't get upset. Just be open to learn.
Amen.
Keep it real.
Amen.
On a regular basis, I'll say, Lord, just show me what I need to see.
Yes.
Don't show me what I don't need to see. Show me what I need to see. Show me what I need to know. You tell me, Holy Spirit, to do it, and I'll obey.
Yes.
You show me what the wisdom is in this situation, I'll obey. And sometimes, personally, people get mad at me because I don't make quick decisions on major things. Why? Because I need to find the mind of God. And I don't hit it 100% of the time. Nobody does. But you know what? My intent is to find the mind of God because I want to obey the will of God and the word of God because I want the results of God's kingdom. Because he that brings you, the Bible says, is well able to keep you. Do it on your own, and you stress out trying to keep what you've earned on your own ability. Oh, I'm a self-made person. Good, and you're going to be a self-defending person trying to keep from others. Obeying God's will is the door into his kingdom. Say, obeying God's will. What is the will of God? Have you ever heard somebody pray, oh God, heal this friend of mine if it be your will? What do you do with a prayer like that? Thank you. You can't do anything because they leave that little caveat, they leave that little openness of, it might not be God's will. Say, if it be your will. What is God's will? You can say it this way. God's will is God's priorities. God's will is God's plans. God's will is God's word. If you want to know God's will, find it in his word. God's word is his will. Say with me, God's word is his will. Say with me, God's word is his will. I didn't say what people wrote in a book. I didn't say what people are saying. I'm not saying what is popular or what is not popular. God's word is in the new covenant. The old covenant is a shadow pointing to the new covenant. Go to Jesus. People say, I can find it in scripture, and they take an old Testament scripture and try to misrepresent. And I'm here to tell you, if you want to know the heart of the Father, look to the Son. Look to the light of the sun, for the Hebrews tells us that he is the expressed image. He's the visible image of the invisible God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know the heart of the Father, you don't look to Job, you look to Jesus. For even Job in the 40, I'll just give you the range. Between 40 and 49, I'll let you do research. I'm not here to feed you everything like a baby bird. But even Job repented later of speaking of those things he did not understand. Right. What do I need to do? Don't build your whole theological doctrine on an Old Testament first book canonized in the Bible. I mean, Job didn't have any scripture before. And later repented. And even through all he went through was only 18 months. Some people have been dealing 18 years leaving it on Job's doorstep of why. No, even Job, with his limited understanding, only 18 months, and he had a lot more afterwards. God blessed him. Yeah. Read it. God blessed him. The devil was stealing. God was adding. God blessed him. God blessed him. Okay. God's will is found in his word. Let me encourage you in this phase of prayer. This is a time to be praying for God's order, his will, his kingdom into the situation at hand, whatever it might be. We've been, first lap, you're spending time giving him thanks and praise. Second lap, you begin to call the order of God. Pray the kingdom of God. In the Greek, the verb is actually first. And it's almost like, instead of saying that your kingdom come, your will be done, it's like saying, come, kingdom of God. Yeah. Come, kingdom of God. A tenaciousness within you of not, I'm not going to allow my children to go to hell. Come, kingdom of God. I'm not going to let my body be racked with pain. Come, kingdom of God. I'm not going to allow my marriage to fall apart and go through a divorce. Come, kingdom of God. I'm not going to allow my mind to be tormented day and night and I can't get sleep. Come, kingdom of God. It's a tenacity on the inside that you begin to know who he is. And out of that, you begin to understand the benefits of what's available to you. And you begin to rise up. You're not called to be a passive Christian. You're not called to be a weak, lukewarm, you are called to be men and women of God. Come, kingdom of God. Call the order of God. I shared this many years ago. I was in a time of fasting and praying, and I just had a heart. I needed a word. I needed God to speak to me. And I began, and typically, this doesn't work for me, because when I go in looking for a word, I usually get exhausted and never get anything. I find that the Spirit of God speaks to me through the Word of God, but at different times. But this particular time, I was not letting go. I said, Lord, I need a word on this situation. And I prayed for an hour. And after an hour, I had nothing. I didn't even have a goosebump. I had nothing. Spent 2 hours in prayer. Nothing. I was so determined. You know, you either at that point you either get mad and stick with it or give up. And I said, I'm not gonna quit. 2 hours, nothing. 3 hours, nothing. But as I crossed in past the third hour of prayer, the Word of God began to be revealed to me. And one of the things out of that I'll share is God began to speak to me, directed me to begin to call the order of God. Call the order of God. That's the will of God. That's the order how he does stuff. Call the order of God into that situation. And the moment I started doing that, things begin to change. Hallelujah. Things that I didn't even know needed to be changed. Hallelujah. Because we don't see everything. We're limited in the natural. But God sees everything. Call the order of God. Let me encourage you. Spend time. Call the order of God over your own life. David said, teach me to do your will. Begin to say, God, I call your order in every area of my life. And if there's anything lacking, anything out of alignment, anything that's a doorway for the enemy, anything that is hindering the flow of your goodness, God, show me so I can deal with it. David said, search me like a book. And if there's anything unpleasing, remove it. Why? Because David understood that the connection to God was a flow of his goodness, and anything that comes from the enemy tries to shrink it so that there's no flow. He'll try to get it down to a little stream, then to a trickle, to nothing. But we need to reopen. God, if there's an area in my life, pray for the kingdom of God. Pray for, call the order of God into your own life. Number two, into your family. Spend time praying for your family. It's not because you want them and love them that things should happen. The enemy is going to try to steal, kill, and destroy, but you can come against it. Amen. And spend time. And as your child is going to school, as your whatever, just begin to pray over their lives. Father God, I thank you, and I call the order of God, your will, your kingdom, to be in their life today and throughout their life. Begin to pray for their future spouse or pray for their current spouse, wherever they're at in the phase of life. Begin to pray for your family. Yes. Pray for your church. We need to not only pray for ourselves, pray for our family. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our church. You say, what's wrong, Pastor? Nothing. But we're not called to sit. We're called to reach. We're called to make a change. We're called to feed the hungry and help the hurting. We're called to preach the gospel and heal the sick. We're called to make a difference. We're called to leave a mark that cannot be denied. Listen to me. Fame does not last. I can prove it to you in the secular market. Have you ever just Googled, where are they now? All you have to do is that phrase, where are they now? And you will get a list of all kinds of people. And you go through and go, oh, I forgot about them. They were famous back in the... Solomon talks about that. Fame is fleeting. People strive to become famous. You know what? Be effective. Yeah. Make a difference. Leave a mark that 10 years after you're gone and you're in heaven, Lord tarries, that what you did, what you were part of, was making a difference that's still impacting people's lives. You can be forgotten or you can be influential in life, effective. Pray for your life. Pray for your family. Pray for your church. Last but not least, pray for your country and your community. Listen to me. Listen to me, and I'll end with this. Pray for me, love me. You don't have to like the president, because there's presidents that I like and there's presidents I don't like. You don't have to agree politically with every person. The society has got so sensitive, and now they're so riled up that if you disagree with somebody that they almost hate you. Whatever happened to we can love each other even if we disagree. But the point is, the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. And it was even talking about kings and people in authority. Those you like, those you don't like. And if you don't like them, you hate them, you got a lot more to pray. You got a lot more reasons to pray. But we need to pray for every leader. God, open their eyes so they can see clearly. God, don't let them be pulled by the pressure of men and by society and the problems around. Lord, help them to fight. Because the Bible talks about when a king is a good king under the heart, has a heart for God, the world, the land is rejoicing. But when his heart is evil, I don't want to judge by the appearing of the eyes or what the hearing of the ears. We need to judge by the word of God. And we need to say, hey, they may or they may not be in alignment with your political party, but at the end of the day, don't be a Republican, Democrat, Independent, Socialist. Be a Christian. That is a greater party than all the other parties. I just can't believe they said, pray for them. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our mayors and our governors. Pray for those in charge of the school district. Pray for those on the school board. Pray for the principals and the teachers. We need to pray for it. We need to be a people, a house of prayer that knows God's kingdom, God's will can be done. I shared this idea of calling the order of God, and I had a gentleman that's in the corporate world say, you know what? I begin, instead of complaining about my job, I begin to call the order of God into my job. And he said, I begin to see change. Why? Because God's word works. We can complain about teachers. We can complain about principals. We can complain about administrators. We can complain about senators. We can complain about governors. And you know what? My opinion when it comes to politics, and please forgive me, when it comes to power, most people, without Jesus, power corrupts. But my Jesus can still have a say in this. We need to be involved in this, but we need to be praying for this. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders. Yes. Call the order of God. What would happen as a church if we begin to say, okay, yes, I'm going to pray for everybody who's in authority. Yes. Doesn't matter if I like them or don't like them. Yes. What matters is, God, I want your will, yes, your kingdom, yes, to come. Pray for my family. Pray for my life. Pray for my church. Pray for my country.
Amen.
I'll end with this phrase, which simplifies it all in one sentence. Praying for supernatural hearing. Not we're looking for voices, but hearing the word of God revealed,
yes,
to our heart.
Yes.
Let the Holy Spirit reveal the word. Yes. Supernatural hearing. Can God speak? Yeah, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. But we don't look for voices. We look to the truth of the word, and God, by his Spirit, can speak to you. And sometimes it'll be so clear that you'll think someone's standing there talking to you.
Right.
But it's always, always in line with the word of God.
Amen.
Supernatural hearing, supernatural obedience,
yes,
and supernatural results.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
We can't control people. We can't force people. But what if we just pray that their eyes would be open,
yeah,
mind would be open for,
yeah,
truth, that God would send people that would speak words of due season in their path.
Amen.
What if we begin to pray, call the order of God,
yeah,
into these areas? You spend time doing that, I'm telling you, you're going to begin to see change.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. Hallelujah. Would you bow your head and close your eyes if you're here today and do not have a real relationship? No one moving around, please. If you bow your head and close your eyes, No one looking around. If you're here, you do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. None of this can benefit you because without Jesus, it all starts with Him. It all starts with not a joining a denomination or joining a church or getting your name on a list, but it comes out of a real relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you this question, and only you can answer it. Is Jesus Christ real to you today in a way that you know for yourself He's real and your Lord and Savior? Only you could answer that. Only you could answer that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and say, Pastor, I know about Him. I know the good things I should be doing or the bad things I shouldn't do, but I really don't have a real relationship. The amazing thing about salvation is that God can reveal Himself to you in a way that you know on the inside of your heart that He's real. Revelation 3 says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. How do I experience that? A simple prayer, Romans 10 tells us, can make an eternal difference. Let's all pray this prayer together. But if you don't know Him, maybe this is the first time you heard the gospel, maybe you're a lot of other things that come between you and God and your heart's not right, this is your moment to make things right. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I turn to You today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask You, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in Your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with You. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite You in as my Savior and Lord. Thank You for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you say, Pastor, I know that was for other people too, but one thing I know for sure, that prayer was for me today. Just so I know who I was praying with. I'm not here to embarrass you. We're here to help you. But just so I know who I was praying with, at the count of three, I want you to simply lift your hand and look me in the eyes, and then you can put it right back down. Just so I know who I was praying with today. One, two, three. Pastor, that was for me. Who was? I see that hand, the second hand, third, fourth, fifth hand. God bless you. Sixth, seventh hand, eighth hand. God bless you. Ninth, God bless you. Anybody else? 10 in the very back. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? 19. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Anybody else? Come on, let's give them a big hand clap of praise. God is doing their life. Amen. 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 We want to make sure we celebrate people getting saved. That's what it's about. That's what it's all about. Well, before we dismiss, we want to give you a gift as a way of thanking you for worshiping the Lord with us. We have some announcements, but before we get into that, let's get ready to receive our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, if you would take your positions, please. Let's get ready to receive our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. If you're giving today by cash, credit card, or debit card, and need an offering envelope, lift your hand as high as you can. Ushers will come and give that to you. You can also, if you're techie, you can give through technology, as you see on the screen. You can give through texting, the dollar amount, the word hope, to 45888. You can give through PayPal, through the Cash app. You can give through Planning Center. You can give through our online app that we have available to you. You can give through the website at hopechurch.org. So many opportunities. We don't pressure people to give, but we challenge you. You obey God. When Jesus was with traveling with Peter, and they found out, they didn't have Judas with them, the accountant, they found out that they had taxes, an unexpected bill. Have you ever had an unexpected bill before? When they had an unexpected bill, Peter went to Jesus and said, what do you do? And Jesus said, go, take a hook, and drop in the water. Think about that. He asked a professional fisherman to do something that he knows didn't make sense. Right. I love that. Because God will ask us to do stuff that we know in the natural shouldn't work. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yeah. And lean not to your own understanding. Amen. And so he said, take the hook, drop it in, and the first, say first. You got to just read the Bible as a newspaper, not as a fairy tale story. The first fish that you pull up will have a coin in its mouth. Take it and pay the taxes for both of us. What was he saying? I would have at least said, catch a bunch of fish. One of them would have had a coin, right? He said, the very first one you pull up, it's going to have a coin. And not only is it going to have a coin, that coin will have the value to pay for all the debt that we didn't see coming. And what happened? Peter obeyed. And what happened? The fish had a coin. But I always like to think logically and scientifically, when did that fish have to start swimming toward a coin? How long did it take that fish to get there? It's like the fish on Peter's net. How long did it take him to get to that part? See, I believe what happens is God begins to set the miracle in motion before he gives you an instruction. I think the moment Jesus began to speak, that fish, for some reason, saw a shiny coin. I mean, think about it. Someone's got to drop the right coin. It has to go to a place a fish can see it. The fish has got to catch it, put it in its mouth, and swim over to the hook. And I believe that was all in motion before Peter obeyed. Yeah. But when he heard the instruction, just like he did when he had trusted Jesus before, and he said, Lord, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word.
Yes.
How long it take those fish to start swimming that way?
Yeah.
So that when he dropped the net, the miracle was already there.
Yes.
Are you listening? The miracle begins before the instructions heard.
Man.
God's maneuvering the natural. And when he begins to speak to you, not only your tithes, your offerings, when he begins to speak to you, it's not that he's trying to get something from you, because we're not a church of pressure and motive and putting pressure and forcing people. God loves cheerful givers. I'm telling you that when he speaks to your heart, that means there's already a miracle in motion.
Yeah.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
And he's asking you to obey so you can see it. He already sees the miracle.
Yeah.
He already knows what he wants to do.
Right.
We don't.
Right.
But it was Peter's obedience on both times that allowed him to experience what God was seeing, experience what God was doing. That's what we ask you to do. Pray, God, what do you want me to do? And let God speak to your heart from his word. And you simply obey. That's what Mary told the servants. Whatever he tells you to do, simply obey. Because when God asks you to do something, helping, serving, inviting, or giving an offering, it's all about he sees the results. Because he sees the end from the beginning. And so he sees it, and he's wanting you to be a part of it. And he asks you to do something, not to hurt you, but allow you to be part of the miracle. Amen. How many people want to be part of God's miracle? Come on, in any and every area. Then don't overwhelm yourself. Don't make it difficult. Just ask, Lord, you show me what to do. And then when God puts it upon your heart, don't look for a big thunderous voice. I didn't see handwriting on the wall. You won't. But when you obey, that still small voice, when you obey what God shows you to do, get ready.
Yeah.
Get ready. Well, I don't know how it's going to work. You don't have to know how.
Right.
You just got to trust the who.
That's right.
And let him guide you
right
into what he wants you to do in your life. Amen?
Yeah.